Okay, first of all, a lot of you and me, when you get into the job of preaching, you're going to always hear people saying, I've heard a king get his wife. If you look in Genesis 5:4, it says, and Adam had other sons and daughters. So you can figure out from there where a king got his wife. Also, Methuselah. Robert Ripley was once made this statement back in 1929, that the oldest man in the world died before his father did. And a lot of people wrote into Ripley way back then asking him about that, and he brought up the fact that the oldest man ever mentioned in history was Methuselah, who died before Enoch, because so far Enoch has not yet died. Enoch was translated. Also, another thing about Methuselah, one translation of the name Methuselah I have found was destruction. After me comes destruction. And if you trace the length of days from Methuselah through Lamech to Noah, you find 969 days and 969 years from Methuselah to the flood, which is also the length of Methuselah's life. So Methuselah died in approximately the same year of the flood. And finally, now we're going on to the three races, Noah's three sons. Okay, first of all, how many people in here have had Bible by Ages? Do you recall in the book Bible by Ages how L.D. Foreman had brought up the fact that Shem was towards the spiritual? Japheth was more of a lamental type lizard group, and Ham was towards the physical and technical group. Okay, we're going to be bringing that up shortly. Okay, if you look at a map, you can see how the Hamites and the Shemites and Japhethites went. The Hamites started from this area here back on Mount Ararat. And the Hamites went, first of all, from here. Some of them started going down this way. Many of the Hamites went down through here and up through into this area here and also down into here. The Hamites cover a large portion of the world. Also, in L.D. Foreman's book, he talks about how at one time this part of the world was swung into here. You can see how South America fits in here and how part of North America fits in here. You can take a look at the characteristics of the people of Northern Africa, and they match many of the North American Indians here. And people from down here match people here. And one of the teachers here, I can't remember which one it was, talks about how the people in Australia match the Gond people of India. The Gonds are the aboriginal race of India. They have the same characteristics as the aborigines of Australia. And also, you'll find that many of the people in northern North America match the people from this area up here. So the way I figured then is that the Hamites go into Africa and into Southern Asia and then on up and across into North America. Okay, the Shemites moved from here into this general area. They just stayed in the same area. They're the smallest of the races.
Actually, the Shemites, in other words, are not the Shemites. The Shemites would be in the lower sphere of the earth,
right.
The lower part of the earth.
Yes. So the Shemites just stayed in the same general area. And the Japhethites, they moved northward into Europe. And also in Northern Asia, you will find out the people in this area here have the characteristics of both the Hamites and the Japhethites. Now, the people in the very northernmost island of Japan, you'll find people who are Japanese in just about all their characteristics, except that they have all Japhethite physical traits. They look like a European, but they are Japanese. They can trace their ancestry back several hundred years, back as they can remember, in fact. Okay. One thing about the Japhethites, Aristophanes, a Greek playwright, lived approximately 448 to 380 BC, and one of his plays called The Clowns mentions the fact that a man by the name of Japetos was the ancestor of the Greek race. Then there's another book out, or parchment out, called the Institutes of Menu. It was founded here in northern India, which was Japhethite also. By the way, the Japhethites, when they went across here, some of them kind of scooped across also. Okay, in the Institutes of Manu, dated approximately 1280 BC, mentions a man by the name of Satyamata, who had three sons, Jayapeti, which could be Japheth, Sharma, Sham, and Kaharma. Adolf Hitler claimed that Germany was the only place in the world where you can find pure Aryan stock, but if he knew something of his races, he would find that northern India also has pure Aryan people. Okay, on the religion, here is something on the character traits of the people. Okay, first of all, in the religious life of the Shemites, we find that the three of the four greatest world religions came out of this little area here. You have the Muslim religion, Christianity, and Judaism. These three religions cover just about all the world right now, except for spaces in here. Communist countries, they try to kill all religions, but it still thrives. There are more churches, by the way, in the Soviet Union right now than there were before the revolution of 1917. Also more clergy in the Soviet Union. So they are also the only through these places do you find monotheism, in other words, belief in one God. Everywhere else they have all these other things. Also, they have the basic attributes of God. All the religions started here have the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, or the all-knowing mind of God, the all-power of God. And they're the only ones who came up with the idea of a perfect God. Okay, the Japhethites start off with animism, people mainly up in this area here. In other words, they started worshiping God. They figured that all God was in everything. They start worshiping everything in nature. They find a rock, they worship a rock. Then they start going on to fetishism, which is worshiping tokens of some of these things. Then finally they start worshiping so many forces of nature that they decided to come up with gods to personify those parts of nature. Such as in Greece, they have the ocean. The ocean was a big part of the Greeks' life, so they came up with Poseidon, the king of the sea. God of the sea. They worship the heavens, and they figure the heavens must be the greatest reign of the gods, so they have Zeus, and just about their whole religious things like that. Same thing with the people over this area here, people in England, people in Rome. They all worship nature and personify nature, forces of nature. Okay, very rarely, though, do these gods have any of the basic attributes. Okay, they're more like people, like more like glorified people. Like Zeus, you see him going around committing adultery every time his wife Hera's back is turned. See Hercules, always loses his temper, and throughout all these gods' things, you find them always acting like large or glorified people. In the Norse mythology, you always see pictures of Odin, the head of the Norse god. You always see him with either a patch on one of his eyes, or you see his hair in front of his eye, one of his eyes. The reason for that is that he made a deal with somebody and gave somebody his eye for some knowledge. So he always keeps that eye socket covered up. He was kind of greedy. In the Hamite religions, people down here and over this area here, they are in some ways similar to the people of the Japhethite races. They have the animism, in other words, nature worship and fetishism are similar to the Japhethites. But then they also have ancestor worship. Find people over here in the United States, the Indians, they were heavy on the ancestor worship. And I was talking to Jacob Busa in the Solomon Islands, and you find out the people in Solomon Islands, which are way over here, they are also very heavy on ancestor worship. Musa says that he had a very strong ancestor. The missionaries who later came on called those ancestors devils, but he would take bark, wind around his arms, and whenever he was ordered by his superior to go out there and bring back some criminals, he would wind the bark around there and flex it. And if the bark broke, then he knew that his god, his ancestor, wanted him to go after those people. If it didn't break, he would not go after them. So find ancestor worship all the way through here. in Japan, the Philippines, and just about wherever you find Hamite religion, you'll find animism, in other words, nature worship, and you'll find ancestor worship. A lot of people bring up the fact that the people in India are not like that, that they have their three main gods, Brahma, Shiva, and I can't remember what the other one's name is. But, India used to have trade routes that would go across here and into Egypt. So they would often pick up their some Shemite type ideas because they would travel through so many Shemite areas. So they were able to pick up a form of the Trinity that was not a true Trinity, it was more of a tritheism because of the fact that they would go through this area. And it was out of India that the Fourth World Great War religion came out of Hinduism. And out of Hinduism, by the way, came Buddhism. So we have actually five Great World religions, but they all actually came out of this area here. In some cases, they were religions were perverted around a little bit. Okay, now in the field of technology, religion now, in the field of technology, and the Shemites had no great paces in technology. They were not inventors or creators. But they had very little fine art. Just about everything they made was for practical use. And so even the weapons they had were not uncommon. Just about everybody who was around them had the same kind of weapons as the Shemites. They did not invent anything. Okay. Most of their domestication of animals, they had to receive from the other groups. They did not learn the domestication of animals on their own. Now, the Japhethites. The Japhethites also had very little, if any, technology before the birth of Christ. After the birth of Christ, in some of the Japhethitic countries, technology started springing up. But before the birth of Christ, very little. And also, you will find out whenever Japhethite civilization conquered a technological civilization, that the technology in that country was lower. In India, in Egypt, through many of these other places, you'll find that at one time they had open heart surgery, brain surgery, all these other things. You could go to those countries now and you see people dying of heart attacks and all these other illnesses because they don't know how to handle it. People from India, for instance, some of the Japhethites came into India, and now the people are very backwards. Same in Egypt. At one time, the Alexandria, there was the greatest medical school in all the world at that time was Alexandria. But later on, when the Japhethites started running the country, Alexandria lost their influence on the world. Okay, the Hamites, on the other hand, are highly technical. People always talk about how the people in here are very ignorant, or the people of the North American Indians are very ignorant. Those people are highly technical, believe it or not. If you'll look closely, you'll find that the four earliest civilizations were all settled by Hamites. The people over here in Babylon. Babylon was settled by Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, who was the son of Ham. He is the one who built the city. Egypt was settled by Mithraim, who was a Hamite. India, along the Indus River, was settled by the Hamites. And in China, along the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers, was settled by the Hamites. So the four earliest civilizations were settled by the Hamites. Babylon, Egypt, Indus River in India, and the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers of China. Also, the art forms of all the Hamite nations are usually about the best you'll find. Take a look at the artwork of the North American Indians. Find Navajo jewelry sold in just about any department store or almost any jewelry store because it is so beautiful. or India. India art is very fine. Their craftsmanship is almost unexcelled. And in China, it is very good. People are always finding pottery from way back 5,000 years back, so they claim, at least to the Ming Dynasty. And you can see all these beautiful pictures painted on this thing. Sometimes they would take a piece of wood, carve it out very thin into a very thin cup. Then they would go over with several hundred coats of lacquer to give it a very good thickness. Then they would paint a design on that. Also, it will become that in most of these civilizations, the Kamite people, that their weapons were superior. The Hamites came up with the chariot. The chariot was first of all used by the Babylonians. Also, there will be found gunpowder. The Chinese found gunpowder, and they also invented the cannon. The rockets, they had invented the catapults, bows and crossbows. They had one bow, which seemed to be a forerunner of the modern-day machine gun. It could shoot several arrows, one right after the other. They had bullets, which you find down here in South America. You have two large weights joined together with another rope coming out. See it on in Argentina. They had invented the body armor. They had flamethrowers. They had invented all several kinds of poison gases and agents, and they even had aerial bombardment. They domesticated such animals as pigs, horses, several different types of birds, both eating birds and hunting birds. They had dogs, elephants, cats, camels, the llama of and alpaca of this area here, cattle, sheep, and some of the wild animals. And some of these areas here, and in here you find some domesticated wild cats, such as a leopard and the panther. Okay. They were also way ahead in mathematics. Algebra, geometry, and trigonometry were all discovered in the Hamite civilizations. Medicine, they had a smallpox vaccination. They had invented several painkillers, and they had invented several pieces of surgical equipment and surgical techniques. As for travel, they had invented the skis, snowshoes, toboggans, travois. And what the travois was simply a triangle of wood. They would take poles here, poles here, poles here, and poles here, and they would pile all their belongings on here, and they could just drag it. They invented the travois. Locks and canals, such as you find over here in Suez, they invented those things. They use locks and canals mainly for irrigation. They invented several types of ships, all the wheeled vehicles and stirrups. One reason that Rome had the lousiest caliber in the world was because they did not have stirrups. The people from over here, I can't remember just what their name was, Parthians or something like that, they had stirrups on their saddles. And though, therefore, were better horsemen than any of your Japhethite civilizations. Okay, also, according to one source book I've seen, they used balloons, gliders, kites, parachutes, a primitive form of jet propulsion, and even a primitive form of helicopter. I don't know how they worked the helicopter, but according to that one source book, they had it. Okay, now on the philosophy of and the mind, the sciences, this is next place rather than the technology. You find the Shemites, they had no true philosophers. Okay, there were a few Jewish philosophers, but you will find that they usually were unorthodox Jews, and that before they got really big into philosophy, they had studied some of the Japhethite philosophers, and most of what they taught were just repeats, such as what Zeno taught. He was just echoing what Aristotle had taught. Okay, their philosophy was weak, and also as far as their politics were, Shemite politics was basically a theocracy. They tried having a monarchy under David, Solomon, and so on. But often their political background was theocracy. They would have prophets or judges would tell them what God wanted, and they would follow that. They were ruled directly by God in most cases. When they did have kings, in many cases those kings were dictators. In the case of David, he was a benevolent dictator. He was a dictator for the people, but he was still a dictator. Saul was a cruel dictator, and from the history, the reason that Judah and Israel split was over the fact that Rehoboam was oppressing the people too badly. Okay, in science,
the only time that Israel's politics ever worked is when they followed God.
Right, whenever they were under strict theocracy, without the monarchy, they were really going good.
When they went out on their own, they failed flat in the face every time.
In the field of science, no Orthodox Jew ever made an advancement in the field of science. Okay, Einstein considered himself a Jew in name only, and he was taught in Germany, which was a Japhetic nation. Okay, the Shemites are usually, the strict Shemites are strictly conservative. They don't want any change, either in ideas or inventions. In fact, while I was over in Solomon Islands, Brother Morley had picked up a copy of Newsweek. And in this book of Newsweek, it said that in Iran, they had recently, I think this was just back in August, they stoned 4 people for sex crimes. Iran has gone back to stoning. So, few ideas or inventions ever take root in these Shemite cultures. You know, the Hamites, like the Shemites, are kind of weak in the fields of the concrete and abstract philosophies. Okay, in the field of politics, for instance, whenever you find one of these nations over here, or wherever you find Hamite civilizations or Hamite nations, they go through several different systems until finally there is a takeover and a tyrant comes forward. This tyrant is usually a strong-minded person. Like over in Uganda, first of all, they have a democratic nation. Then Idi Amin has himself has a military takeover. And the military takeover under Idi Amin falls, and I'm not sure just what kind of political system they have there now. They find that all these various political systems keep trying to go in there, and they keep falling on their faces until finally you have one person who is strong-minded enough to set up a dictatorship. And so, in many of these Indian tribes, the tribe was decided on by the strongest person. The strongest person became chief, king of the mountain, whatever you want to call it. Okay, they're inventive as far as technology is concerned, but they lean more to the how-to, more to the why. They don't ask why something works. They just know that it will do it if they, that if they take so many of these branches here and wrap them onto a pole, you can have yourself an ice umbrella and you're not going to get wet when you walk in the rain. Okay, the North American Indians are another good example. They didn't know how firearms worked. But the North American Indians, after watching these firearms for a while, could sometimes pick up a broken one, and they could repair it, and it was better than when it was brand new, because they would use their technical skills to improve it.
They also, the Spanish brought the horses to America, and they never were terrific horses, but the Indians became great horses.
It is said about this thing, what he was talking about, a white man could take a horse and ride it, and sooner or later that horse is going to fall out from underneath that white man, so he's going to just have to get rid of it. A Mexican person could then take that horse and get about maybe 3 or 4 more days out of it before the horse refuses to go for him anymore. A North American Indian can then take that horse and make it go for it at least 2 more weeks, because he is a better horseman than the other races. Okay, but like I said, they could take a broken gun and repair it better than it was brand new. Confucius, in the field of the philosophy part, Confucius is often called the greatest of the Chinese philosophers. But neither he nor his contemporary Lao Tzu, Lao Tzu is the founder of Taoism, from which is also sprung Shintoism, to other supposedly great world religions. Nothing they ever said could actually be called true philosophy. They're also often called great philosophers or great religious teachers, but nothing they said could ever be called either philosophy or religion. Most of what their teaching was on good manners. In other words, how a man should treat another man, or how a low man should treat a high man. In other words, which chopstick do you pick up to eat your soup with,
whatever. What race do you have in
them? That was under the Hamites. Confucius and many people, that's on the Brother So, and he's been led to believe that the people in Korea are Shemites, but the Shemites all sit in this area. Here, in fact, if you take a look at your chart, you'll see that all your Shemites are accounted for in this area here, but very few of your Japhethites or Hamites are.
One thing also is that almost all these races are a combination of some other people. And some people think that the Oriental people there are a cross between the Hamites and Shemite people. Yeah. And some think that is the Hamites and Japhethites.
One thing, though, is that if you take a look at the people up here and Eastern Europe, you'll find that they have many of these same characteristics of the people over here. There's a Polish wrestler, about 4 years ago, I used to watch wrestling on TV and television. They used to have this one Polish wrestler, and he looked like some many of these sumo wrestlers you see, but he's a pure Pole. Okay, now the Japhethites, these people were the strongest in the different philosophies. Okay, politically, they had examples of every political system you can think of. And in many places in history, they had combinations. And one time in Greece, for instance, I'm not sure just which district of Greece, but in Plutarch's Lives, it talks about how one city had a king. Okay, this king's uncle, this king himself, helped his uncle become dictator of this city-state. At that time, the cities in Greece were also considered nations. But this king of the city-state helped his uncle become dictator. There was a ruling class in that city. In other words, some of the higher class people helped rule the city. But the city's people did a lot of voting on their own. And everything was held in common. So at one time we have both a monarchy, a dictatorship, an aristocracy, democracy, and communism. And at the same time, they use capitalism when dealing with other nations. So at one time, in one little Grecian city, you have several different political systems. Okay, now, just about every nation on the world nowadays, you'll find, follows some form of a japhetic political system. Whether it's communism, capitalism, democracy, tyranny, whatever you want to call it, they all follow some form that was outlined by the Japhethites. Okay, and where I was saying earlier, the Hamites knew how, but the Japhethites tried to find out the why of everything. Okay, they were the first true scientists. Okay, Hamites were the first true technologists, but the Japhethites were the first true scientists. They went around studying everything. And they also tried to improve everything. Okay, Shemites had religion, a strong religion. So the Shemites come in, Japhethites come in, and what do you have? You have theology. You can break that down into word or knowledge of God. Take the guns of the Hamites, the weapons that the Hamites had invented, and they make them a little bit more powerful. Okay, and also, every great philosophy of the past was either Japhethite or the inventor of that philosophy had access to the Japhethites. If you check Calvinism, the life of Calvin, you'll see that he was led in many ways by his readings of Aristotle and Socrates.
I think that is better than that posture read in this movie, I think.
So, see then that...
Actually, it is in this movie, it's a copy of that.
Okay, that's all the outlines I have on today, but you can just kind of sum that up in the three traits of the three races. You'll have the Shemites were spiritual. Everything they did was spiritually orientated. The Japhethites were mentally orientated. In other words, they were scientists. They liked to ask why and everything. But the Hamites, they studied the physical world. And they understood it. Now, Kate, like I was saying earlier, many of the people over here in Africa and North America are often called ignorant people. They're Hamites. But the Incas down here, and the Aztecs along here, they had some very high civilizations. And many people take a look at the Plains Indians over here and consider them ignorant because the people didn't wear clothes like the Europeans did. But if you consider the fact that all their things were more towards the practical, they didn't wear heavy clothes because they got in their way when they went running. You had a question?
I always thought the North American Indians was a lot of them were set up as a monarchy, really, to a degree that
they had chiefs
from sun to sun.
Not necessarily.
Sun in a lot of cases.
Only if the sun was strong enough to hold it. Only if the sun was strong enough or wise enough to hold it. The medicine chiefs were sometimes cast in front of the sun.
Had quite a few different chiefs.
Sometimes they might have three or four. Over in American Samoa, you might find 20 chiefs in one little village. They had the high chief, then you have several of the other chiefs, lower chiefs, and then the lower chiefs have what they call talking chiefs. The chief represents the people, and the talking chief represents the chief. In other words, he's the orator for the chief.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Well, you may go.